One frightfully hot morning, when she was about 9 years old, she awakened feeling very cross when she saw that the servant who stood by her bedside was not her Ayah. "Why did you come?" she said to the strange woman. "I will not let you stay. Send my Ayah to me." The woman looked frightened, but she only stammered that the Ayah could not come. There was something mysterious in the air that morning. She heard her mother come out on the veranda with a fair young man, and they stood talking together in low, strange voices. Mary knew the fair young man was a very young officer who had just come from England. The child stared at him, but she stared most at her mother, a tall, slim, pretty person who wore such lovely clothes and who had large, laughing eyes. But her eyes were not laughing at all. They were large and scared. "Is it so very bad? Oh, is it?" Mary heard her say. At that very moment, a loud sound of wailing broke out from the servants' quarters.
"Oh, what is it? What is it?" Mrs. Lennox gasped.
"Someone has died," answered the officer. "You did not say it had broken out among your servants."
"I did not know. Come with me. Come with me."
And she turned and ran into the house. After that, appalling things happened, and the mysteriousness of the morning was explained to Mary. Cholera had broken out, and people were dying like flies. The Ayah had been taken ill in the night, and it was because she had just died that the servants had wailed in the huts. During the confusion and bewilderment, Mary hid herself in the nursery and was forgotten by everyone. She only knew that people were ill and that she heard mysterious and frightening sounds. She could scarcely keep her eyes open. She lay down on her bed and knew nothing more for a long time. When she awoke, the house was perfectly still, and she wondered if everybody had got well of the cholera and all the trouble was over. Then she heard footsteps on the veranda. Men entered the bungalow, talking in low voices. "What desolation," she heard one voice say. "That pretty, pretty woman. I suppose the child, too. I heard there was a child, though no one ever saw her." Mary was standing in the middle of the nursery when they opened the door a few minutes later. She looked an ugly, cross little thing and was frowning because she was beginning to be hungry and feel disgracefully neglected. "Barney," a large officer cried out, "there is a child here. A child alone in a place like this. Mercy on us, who is she?"
"I am Mary Lennox," the little girl said, drawing herself up stiffly.
"It is the child no one ever saw," exclaimed the man. "She has actually been forgotten."
"Why was I forgotten?" Mary said, stamping her foot. "Why does nobody come?"
"Poor little kid. There is nobody left to come." It was in that strange and sudden way that Mary found out that she had neither father nor mother left, that they had died and been carried away in the night. As Mary knew very little of her mother, she could scarcely have been expected to love her or to miss her very much when she was gone. As she was a self-absorbed child, she gave her entire thoughts to herself, as she had always done. She knew that she was not going to stay at the English clergyman's house where she was taken at first. She did not want to stay. The Reverend Crawford was poor, and he had 5 children nearly all the same age, and they wore shabby clothes and were always quarrelling. Mary hated their untidy bungalow and was so disagreeable to them that after the first day or two, nobody would play with her. By the second day, they had given her a nickname which made her furious. It was Basil who thought of it first. She was making heaps of earth and paths for a garden, and Basil came and stood near to watch her.
"Go away," cried Mary. "I don't want boys. Go away."
For a moment, Basil looked angry, and then he began to tease. He danced round and round her and made faces and sang and laughed.
"Mistress Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden..."